You are listening to Southside Radio 102.9 FM.
The complexion of the Southside has changed a good deal in the 10 years that I've been over here. And I think what you're saying about the nature of Southside being a little bit more diverse than it is in a lot of other Pittsburgh neighborhoods is that a lot of the older people who dominated the Southside in the days in which there were still mills over here have, you know, they saw the opportunity to get some real estate money out of their houses and sold their houses. And Southside became a little bit more diverse in terms of who lived here. It wasn't as firm. It is still firmly entrenched, you know, with families and people who have lived here for generations. There are a couple people on my street who, when they die, I mean, their house just stays in the family. I mean, it doesn't ever go up for sale. When I wanted to buy my house here 10 years ago, it was very hard for me to find a house to buy for that very reason. Not that many houses go up for sale on the Southside, considering, you know, the differences with other neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. You know, there's not the turnover that you have in some place like Shadyside or Squirrel Hill. But at the same, for the same sense, there's also not the sort of entrenchment of a particular, you know, ethnic family group that there is in, say, Bloomfield, or even further up in the hill in the south side, Mount Washington or whatever. I mean, you have a lot of, you know, you've had enough opening up and enough change, especially in terms of the, I mean, just look at the main street in the south side, how it's changed. I mean, from before I moved here 10 years ago to now, I mean, it's just, it's a totally different street than it was. And, you know, that's good and bad. Well, when I moved here, there were probably a third more empty buildings, for one thing, on the main street of the south side. I mean, yeah, I mean, things went bad here economically, you know, when the mill closed, and it took a certain amount of time before the place picked up in terms of things closing because of that and things changing when other people saw an opportunity. They saw an opening, they moved in, they, you know, bought some real estate and some decent prices over here, and they changed things a little bit. And then, you know, but the problem being with that is the exact same problem that artists, for instance, have with that in New York City. You know, the artists move in, they suffer through the whole horrible transition of turning Soho from a complete garbage dump into a place where you would want to live, and then what happens? The yuppies buy up all the real estate, and you know, the stockbrokers take over the condos, and then the artists can't afford to live there anymore.
Do you think the artists had a lot to do, maybe hope sometimes that a little bit more?
Talk about the artists have had on the South Side? I mean, I think it's been tremendous, but I think it's one of the things that I admire most about it is it's been against all odds. The artists have had no cooperation whatsoever from the city government, as far as I can see. I mean, they have fought tooth and nail to get anything that they have over here. To this day, any accomplishments people have made over at the Brew House, any accomplishments individuals have made over here. I mean, not even artists. When I say artists, I don't even mean visual artists. I mean people like Carla Booz at the theater. I mean, you know, the woman's hitting her head against the wall all the time, as far as I can tell. You know, she works really, really, really hard for what she has. She's earned it above and beyond. And if anything, the artist should have a higher profile, a bigger presence in the South Side than they do. And the reason that they don't is because the city doesn't appreciate it. There's no appreciation whatsoever for the city, within the city government, for art. I mean, that became totally apparent to me when I was on the board of directors for Pittsburgh Artists Equity, which doesn't exist anymore, largely because of the environment in which it was trying to work. I mean, it's just, that was an organization that was trying to promote public art and was trying to get funding for public art. And the funding, to a certain extent, was there from the private sector, but there was no cooperation from the public sector. Venues were not made available. You know, we got no cooperation from people in terms of setting up situations in which artists could work. So therefore, you know, the artists lost interest after a little while. They have other fish to fry. They're doing their own thing. They don't want to work within a bureaucracy that's absurd. And that's still what you have in Pittsburgh.
But
I mean, that's
had some successes like Dark Knight and things like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There have been. But as I said, one of the reasons those successes are very admirable is because they're individuals who have really, you know, busted their butts to get what they wanted to do done. And, you know, they've been tenacious. And that's, you know, more than I think people should expect from individuals. I mean, you know, if a business person wants to come over here and set up a business, no matter how absurdly irrelevant, the city will roll out the red carpet for them and help them in interminable ways. And if somebody wants to do something that enriches the cultural life of the city, no one's interested. So,
but the South Side is starting to get seen like as a cultural center, mm-hmm. almost alternative.
Yeah,
that's what was that transition like in the last 10 years? Like the first coffee house was here.
Yeah. I think that's been great. I mean, we're sitting in a place right now that's a coffee house that wouldn't have been here when I moved here 10 years ago. It's really nice to see that there's enough interest in things over here that, you know, that kind of stuff actually happens and you know, gets done. And it's a, you know, it's a kind of a more casual atmosphere over here, but it remains very urban. I've had quite a few friends come over here from New York and say, oh, this is like Brooklyn, you know, and they're really surprised. I mean, it never occurred to them there could be a Brooklyn in Pittsburgh. And they, you know, they really like that and are comfortable here because of it. It, you know, it has its downside, just like living in Brooklyn does too. But, you know, and I think Pittsburghers have very little sort of built-in stamina for that kind of thing. I mean, you know, the people on my street, if they can't park right in front of their house, they think it's a major trauma. And, you know, I think the city certainly does need to do more to accommodate neighbors and to buffer the problems between neighbors and issues. I mean, it's not fun in a lot of ways. I mean, speaking as somebody who lives a block off Carson Street, it's not fun to live in a commercial district. I mean, it's helpful for me because I'm running a business out of my house, and it's very good for me to be able to walk to the post office. I can buy office supplies on a moment's notice. I can, you know, get somebody to work with my computer if it breaks down at the last minute. I mean, I can get services over here that I can walk to, and that's a wonderful bonus, mainly because I never want to move my car because I'll never get my parking space back. But it's there aren't all that many neighborhoods in Pittsburgh that, you know, where I could even accomplish that. Every time I complain about things going wrong with my house and, you know, things that happen on my street that are unfortunate, and if I say anything about it, my parents are always like, you have to move, you have to get out of that house. And I say to them, where else would I go where I can have the things that I have? If you tell me where that is, I'll go there. But I haven't been able to find it. I mean, it's just not, and aside from that, my real estate values have appreciated tremendously in the time that I've been here, and I appreciate that too. I mean, I've made a way better return on investment by buying a house over here 10 years ago than I made if I would have put that money in the stock market. And that's, you know, that's a nice thing. Because actually, when I bought my house 10 years ago, I thought that the real estate boom in the South Side had already come and gone. I mean, I thought, you know, I should have bought over here 10 years ago instead of now. And that was 10 years ago. But, I mean, I was wrong about that. I mean, things have gotten better over here in that amount of time. I mean, I thought I missed that window from the, you know, time the mill closed. But, you know, it's continued to grow over here and continued to get better. But, you know, the city really has to watch out with the complexion of the I think things are in a really precarious state over here right now. If you don't mind me talking about some negative things.
this isn't like rah-rah.
Well, the issues that I see being really, really important now is because of the kind of commercial things that are over here on the South Side. This is turning the corner into becoming a sort of a tourist destination and a mecca for visitors. Most of the people who come over here, I mean, people who live here hang here. But a lot of people come over here who don't live here. And, you know, they treat Southside like it's the French Quarter of Pittsburgh. And, you know, if you think about it, would you want to live in the French Quarter? I mean, you might want to go there, but you don't want to live there. And the city isn't doing anything to attend to the needs of residents over here. And as a result of that, parking and safety and cleanliness issues, very, very boring, mundane things, but the kind of things that people vote on, for instance, I mean, you know, people talked for years about Mayor Daley in Chicago, that he was a bum and he was a crook, but the buses ran on time and people's garbage got collected, and so he continued to get reelected. Well, you know, that people worry about things that are very... I'll tell you a funny story about that, as a matter of fact. The last time there was a mayor's election in Pittsburgh, somebody knocked on my door one day, and I opened the door, and Mayor Murphy was standing on my front porch, and he was doing a door-to-door, you know, thing. What, you know, what's up with you? Would you vote for me? What are your concerns? And, you know, had he told me he was going to come over, I think I probably would have thought of some pretty serious, big deal, overall picture issues to discuss with him. And instead, I dragged him outside and showed him my broken sidewalk that the city had driven over with a big truck and broken it into crumbled pieces. And I started, like, screaming at him about my curb was broken, and the guy promised he would fix it, and he didn't fix it, and it was a big mess, and all the neighbors were mad about it, and what was he going to do about it? Like, this is the most important thing in the world. Now, my curb, the condition of it, compared to all the other things that could be discussed in the city of Pittsburgh, is probably embarrassingly far down on the list. But yet, when I had the mayor's attention, without any preparation, that was what I talked about. You know, I mean, I could have been any 80-year-old babushka mama out there screaming at him about something I didn't like about how the city didn't take care of my house. But part of the upshot of that is, you know, he stood there and told me, you know, this will be taken care of, and here's the telephone number, and, you know, go ahead and call this number, and we'll take care of it. And I did, and it wasn't taken care of. So it goes to show you, you know, what the problems are. I mean, you know, I acted like a fool, so it doesn't, you know, help matters any. But at the same time, it's you know, that particular lack of attention to problems. I mean, they have to refurbish the streets over here and make things look nice over here, they think, so that visitors will come over here. But when they destroy things themselves in the process of doing that, they don't fix it. They leave me as a resident holding the bag for that. And I think so. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think so. But part of what I see is the real downside of that is the more that the city lets things deteriorate over here for residents, the more they hang on to their houses for the financial benefit, but they rent them out. And now we have, you know, a city of rental housing over here instead of a city of owner housing. And that's a very, very dangerous thing. That's what killed Oakland, and it'll kill Southside in the long run. My street, my little block that I've lived in for the past 10 years, has turned over more than 50% rental housing now in the 10 years that I've lived here. The block that I live on has turned over into rental housing. The majority of the housing on the street is rental now, and that was not true when I bought my house 10 years ago. And the difference that makes in terms of how the houses are taken care of and how the surrounding property is taken care of is tremendously different. I mean, my street has a lot of trash on it now that it never had when those houses were all owned by the people who lived in them. People would go out and clean it up, as I do. But now I don't have to just clean up my house. I have to clean up three houses down the street in either direction because the people who live in those houses are renting their houses and they don't care what they look like. They totally don't care. And, you know, they're going to be gone in the next semester of Pitt or as soon as they get their big job in Wall Street, and they don't care. And it makes a really big difference, and I really see Southside as being balanced on a very precarious point at this particular time in history. And, I mean, I don't think, there being yet another mayor's election going on now. I can't believe that was 4 years ago I'm talking about the last time I yelled at the mayor. But things have not gotten better in those 4 years. They've gotten worse. And, you know, for residents. I don't think they've gotten worse commercially. I mean, I think commercially things over here have picked up in the past 4 years because that's one of the things the mayor pays attention to. But, it doesn't contribute to people wanting to make their homes here and raise their families here. And, you know, that's unfortunate. I mean, I think that, you know, the artists who live over at the brew house are, you know, they're doing a tremendous amount. But the city isn't doing anything to help them want to stay there the rest of their lives. You know, the minute their situation changes in terms of starting to raise a family or something like that, I think they're just as much likely to split from the South Side as anybody else is. You know, I mean, it's you know, I mean, I think for urban areas, it's always going to be a problem for people to have kids. But people have kids here in the South Side right now. I mean, I give out more than 200 pieces of Halloween candy every Halloween. So somebody's got some children over here. And they aren't the same six kids coming over and over because I check. But, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of community over here. But I'm really concerned about the city preserving that particular thing. I mean, I want the city to take advantage of the fact that artists have decided to congregate over here for one reason or another, and take, you know, help that continue, because I think that's something that adds to the quality of life for people, for families. I mean, the Brew House has done a lot of child activities. I mean, there's a lot of things over there that are very beneficial for kids. And I mean, there are with all arts organizations. I mean, I think every arts organization I know about in Pittsburgh in some way works out some way to extend themselves to children. And, you know, that's wonderful. But once again, that's something that individuals take upon themselves to do. I mean, artists are smart enough to know that if they don't educate kids about art, there's not going to be an audience for their work. And I think, you know, they have a lot of motivation to do that in a lot of ways. And, I mean, I think it's really great how, I mean, I think the Southside Local Development Corporation has embraced the artists over here. I mean, I think they're making an attempt to work with and accommodate artists. But, for instance, one of the things that I know that they've done that I thought was interesting was putting the Brew House on the house tour. You know, when the Brew House has their open house, whenever there's a house tour over in the South Side, I mean, that brings the artists of the South Side to the attention of a lot of visitors who come over here. And I think that's worked out to be a really good thing. I mean, I think it allows people to see really a lot of what's going on here, not just people with money renovating houses.
Can you talk about the house tour a little bit? Any ideas? Have you ever been on it?
Yeah, I've been on it quite a few times. It's usually the end of May, I think. It's in the spring. It's usually people, about half and half, houses down in the flats and houses up in the hillside. And people open their houses and let people walk around and look in them and see what they've done to them. And the Southside House Tour always does a nice mix of houses that of different income levels. It's not all showplace houses. There's a lot of smaller houses and houses that are maybe even halfway renovated. And actually, they've even had a couple of literal construction sites on the tour before so that you can see what's involved in renovating a house. And I think it's very educational. And I've gone on a lot of them that they've had over the years, and they're very enjoyable. And it's an interesting way for people to see what it would be like to live in the South Side in an urban area. The other thing I think is really important to stress about the South Side is the, because this came to my mind because I'm thinking about the house tour. It's a very safe neighborhood. I've gone on house tours in a lot of the other neighborhoods. The North Side instantly comes to mind because they probably pioneered the concept of having house tours in Pittsburgh. The first one I ever went on and knew about years and years ago was the Mexican War Streets. And, you know, they've got worse problems over there today than they had years ago when I went on that first house tour over there. And Southside has largely escaped those problems. I mean, problems we have over here are, you know, vandalism problems and stuff like that. But we don't have, I mean, I walk around the neighborhood at 11 o'clock at night by myself all the time. And I would never do that in 90% of the other places in Pittsburgh, let alone in other cities. I mean, I consider myself to be a very careful person. But I think there's definitely, without having what I would call police presence at all over here, things are safe and you know, other than problems caused by drunk people mostly. I mean, that's where I see a lot of the vandalism type stuff coming from. You know, I think the worst crime problem there is in the South Side is probably car theft. You don't have break-ins over here like you have in other places. You don't have you hear things on the news because people say, oh, somebody, my parents always say, someone got shot in the South Side. And it's like, do you have any idea how big the South Side is? When they hear the word South Side, you know, they don't understand that somebody could be talking about something
your
that's...
Street.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sometimes when they talk about vandalism problems, it is my street. As a matter of fact, my mother always laughs about the fact that every single time KDKA does a feature about people peeing on porches in the South Side, they always stand in front of the sign that says 16th Street. And that's the street I live on. So.
Is there a problem with that?
Oh, definitely.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. What a tasteful subject. It just happens all the time. I mean, they're just too lazy to go to a bathroom, I guess. I don't know. It's terrible. It's probably the most offensive sort of thing that drunk people do in the South Side. I mean, aside from the yelling and screaming, which anybody who has a certain amount of alcohol in them doesn't seem to be capable of talking in a normal tone of voice. And, you know, you have really narrow streets on the South Side, and the houses are right pressed up against the street, and it creates a canyon effect. And when people walk down the street screaming obscenities at each other because they're drunk, they might as well be in my bedroom. I mean, it's really, really, really loud. And they don't understand that the acoustics that are created by the housing in the South Side, you know, makes it easier for me to hear what they're saying than the person who's standing next to them. And, you know, that's always... I don't even try to go to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's utterly useless. As close as I live to Carson Street. I mean, it's just not even... Not during the week, it's not so bad, but Friday and Saturdays, it's a you know, genuine problem.
What about the... isn't there a Southside Street Festival?
Yes.
Have you ever been to that?
I used to participate in it. Now I go out of town. That's something that's turned out to be, I don't know, at least for the people who live over here, a cross to be borne rather than something to enjoy. It's a big party, and it gets out of hand sometimes. And it's, you know, the city has at various times said, oh, this year was terrible, it was awful, too many windows were broken, too much trash was dumped, you know, we're going to take this in hand. And they do this big policing effort, and it gets better, and then the next year we're back to the same old, same old. So it's sort of, I'm always torn, because in a certain way I think I should stay here and defend my house against marauders. But it's like, it usually always seems to be the hottest weekend of the year, too. So it's the last thing I want to do is spend it cooped up in my house. So the last couple of years, I've just gotten out of town for that great event, the Southside Summer Street Spectacular. But, I mean, it might be a great social activity for people who like street fairs. It's probably, I mean, I'm sure it is. It's probably the best street fair in the city of Pittsburgh. It's certainly, if not the biggest, it's one of the biggest. Probably, I think I've heard somebody say that it's second only to the Three Rivers Arts Festival in terms of size. I mean, Southside's a bit, like I said, it's a big area. There's a far distance between one end of Southside to the other, and there's a lot of stuff over here during the Spectacular. The one thing, personally, that I'm very proud of about the Street Spectacular is it's the only street fair that I know of, certainly in the city of Pittsburgh and anywhere else I know of, they're having street fairs, that opens with a poetry reading. There's a poet, the street fair, you know, pretty much is a weekend activity, but every single year since they've been having this summer street spectacular, there's been a poetry reading at the library near the Birmingham Bridge, and it's a fabulously well-attended, very good poetry reading, and it's, you know, called the Southside Summer Street Spectacular Poetry Reading, and it's the official opening of the Southside Summer Street Spectacular, and it gives me a certain amount of pride that it's poets, of which I am one, and I've read there before during that reading, you know, that's a traditional activity over here. I mean, practically even the Three Rivers Arts Festival kicked the poets out. We apparently didn't sell enough pierogies at the food booths, so they said they wanted musical art rather than poetic art, which I found very hard to believe, because also having read there, I had very good attendance at my readings. So and one of the things that's very enjoyable for a poet about reading at those particular kinds of public events that attract people who don't necessarily come to poetry readings is that they find out they like them. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've had come up to me after reading in a place like when I used to read at the Three Rivers Arts Festival or when I read here in Southside, is people come up to me and say, I've never been to a poetry reading before and I really like this. And, you know, having the opportunity to expose people to that kind of thing is, you know, a really good thing to do. because people don't think they like that. They think it's going to be boring. They think they're not going to understand it. And at least my poetry, I can't speak for everybody who reads it, though, spectacular, but my poetry is pretty easy to understand. And people find out, you know, oh, they laughed and they understood what I had to say and they had a good time and they thought it was interesting. And people appreciate something like that. And I think it's really nice that that's the official opening of the Street Spectacular. And seeing as how now it's probably the only cultural activity related to the Street Spectacular other than the music that is played here, it's nice. It's not so commercial. And it once again, you know, adds to the fact that there are artists over here in the community and that we participate in community activities.